Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 702 is Vasumana. This previously occurred as name 106. Now, here in this verse, name 701 is Vasu, 702 is Vasumana, and then if we go back almost 600 names, then we find that name 105 is Vasu, and 106 is Vasumana. So they appear again in sequence like that. And many of the meanings I've already discussed in some detail, so I'll gloss over some of them. Here, Vasu, those of you who have been following this series of names, you should be quite aware by now that Vasu means wealth, riches, or treasure. Vasu means residence. Vasu means golden. These are some of the meanings. And mana is well known. Mana means mind. So Vasu mana means one who's always thinking of wealth, which means his devotees, and especially Sri Radha, as previously discussed. Then Vasu mana, whose mind is always with Vasudev in particular. He has a golden mind, with the sense that his mind is very pure. Pure, we generally, without any lust, greed, anger, any such bad qualities. He has a pure mind. In another meaning is that he's not biased towards anyone. He has no friends or enemies. He lives with everyone without distinction. His mind is full of loving feelings, vatsalyam, toward his devotees. Vatsalyam, just like devotees think of Krishna as their shelter, he thinks that the devotees are sheltered by me. So vatsalyam. His mind, because always with his devotees, he's always thinking how to facilitate his devotees, how to remove the difficulties in their lives, on their path of coming to him. He has complete knowledge of the body of all living beings and their needs. Another meaning, Vasu, Bhishma. So his mind was with Bhishma, as Bhishma lay on the deathbed of arrows. Let's discuss some of these names in a little more detail. Whose mind dwells with the treasure, what he considers his treasure, with his devotees. Treasure, often hard to find. he's with everyone, but it's hard to find someone who is so much devoted to him. Samahatma Sudurlabha, one who recognizes Vasudev as all in all, such a person is hard to find. Very few people may be devotees. Narayana parasarve nakutasyana pibhyati swagapavaga narakeshvapitulyata darshanaha. For a person who's so much absorbed in Narayana, that his heaven, hell, liberation are all the same to him. But there's another verse I'm saying, Kotishvapi Mahamure. That verse begins with that. Narayana parasarve nakutasjana bibhyati swaga pavaga narakeshu apitulyanyanga. So it may be among many, many, many persons, one is a great pure devotee of Krishna. And Krishna, although extends himself to all living beings, his heart, his treasure, is his pure devotees. And again, the verse that we quote so many times in this series of Vishnu Sahasra Nama commentaries, Sadhunang Hridayang Tahang, Sadhun. Sadhunang hridayam tvaham, sadhunang hridayam ma, sadhunang hridayam mahyam, sadhunang hridayam tvaham, na madanyate na jananti, nahang te vyomanagapi. The devotees are my heart. I am their heart. They know nothing but me. I know nothing but them. Baladev Vidyabhushan, one of his comments is that what he's simply looking for is the wealth of love that his devotees have for him. Krishna has all the wealth. Everything belongs to him. So what's he looking for? If you already have everything, then what are you looking for? What can you give a person who has everything? If we give a poor man, he wins a lottery, 1 crore rupees, it's a big thing for him. But if someone already has 1,000 crores of rupees and he makes another crore of rupees, it's not a very big thing for him. Then what to speak of Krishna, who has everything? He owns everything. Generally, a rich man is always thinking of his riches. He's very attached to them. And Krishna, naturally, he thinks of everything at all times. What's his real interest? What does he consider his wealth? That is the love of his devotees. And therefore, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the master of all opulences, everything he has, but he comes to this world looking for his devotees, looking for someone who will offer him with love and devotion what? What are you going to offer him who has everything? Patrang pushpang palang toyam yome bhaktya prayachiti tadaham bhakti upahritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Krishna says, if one offers me with love a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. It might seem ridiculous offering someone who has so much a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or some water. If someone has so many things, what are you going to give them as a gift? A rich man, what are you going to give him as a gift? Then you have to give him something commensurate with his riches. If a person, or just like, just like I was reading the other day, that Prataparudra, when he married one of the kings in his line, of the Orissa kings, when he married his daughter, Krishna Deva Rai in South India, then he gave a large part of his kingdom. Just giving a few gold necklaces, that won't be enough for a big king. You just give a big chunk of your kingdom. And that's suitable as a gift to a wealthy person. But you can't do that with Krishna because he's the king of kings, Raja Rajeshwara. What are you going to give him? We don't have anything because everything we have belongs to him. Therefore, we simply give our heart. And he feels the same way himself as Lord Rama said to Hanuman when Hanuman came with news of Sita, what can I give you? What can I give you in exchange? Simply, I have to embrace you, that's all. He gave himself, embraced Hanuman as a symbol of love. So Krishna, he's looking for that love. He's ready to give himself. He's ready to give himself. If you have Krishna, you have all the wealth. Because Krishna has all wealth. But then one who wants Krishna, who does Krishna want to give himself to? Someone who doesn't want all those things. When one no longer wants the wealth and the riches that define God as God, then he becomes so pleased. Well, you only want to love him because of who he is. He becomes so pleased that he gives him his very self to such a person. He feels so much for his devotees. Their happiness is his happiness. Their suffering is his suffering. It's a very personal and a very close relationship with him. That for him, the most important treasure is his devotees. Just like we find that Lord Rama, even if you take him from the external point of view as a great king doesn't associate with jungle dwellers. But he, Lord Rama, was very happy to accept the hospitality of Guha, a jungle dweller, because Guha, even though Rama was so aristocratic, but he, not just as a human, he accepted the love of Guha, but as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when Lord Rama was first going to the forest. So Vasumana means one who's always thinking of his wealth. What do you think of someone who has wealth and he's always thinking of it? Generally we think of not a very nice person. Some miser is always thinking of his wealth. But we don't think of Krishna as being wealthy like a money-grubbing materialist, because anyways Krishna's wealth is different to that of a materialist. His wealth is gold, property, money. Yeah, oh, he's got all that, but in his own mind his wealth is his devotees and the love that's shared between him and his devotees. So the description is given by Lord Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita of persons of demoniac outlook who are always thinking of the wealth that they have. So I'm just going to read that, a few verses from that section of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16. Demoniac persons attached to their wealth, with Srila Prabhupada's translations. And just while we're reading it, let's just bear in mind Krishna, how different he is to the materialist who is full of avarice and envy and pride and anxiety, fear and hatred caused by his wealth. But Krishna is just the opposite. Krishna doesn't envy others. Because he's not afraid of others, that others will come and steal my wealth. He doesn't envy that someone else is a rival to me. His one reason, of course, is that no one's ever going to take Krishna's wealth away from him. It's just not possible. But another reason is that Krishna, his nature is different. He's not a demon. So let's read the nature of the demons as described by Krishna, and who are so much attached to their wealth. And think of Krishna, who's so much attached to his devotees and who has all the wealth, far more than any demoniac person could desire, but completely free of any such bad qualities as hatred and fear, and envy and avarice and so on. All right, here are the verses. Asha pasha shatair badha kama krodha parayanaha ihante kama bhogartam anyayenartha sanchayan. Bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires and absorbed in lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. Idamadhyamaya labdham imam prapse manoratham idamasti idamapi me bhavishyati punardhanam asau maya hatah shatrur hanishye cha paranapi ishvaroham aham bhogi siddhoham balavan suki ardhyo bhijanavanasmi konyosti sadrisho maya yakshe dasyami modishya ityagyana vimohitaha. The demoniac person thinks, so much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future more and more. He is my enemy, and I have killed him, and my other enemies will also be killed. I am the lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am the richest man surrounded by aristocratic relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices. I shall give some charity. And thus I shall rejoice. In this way, such persons are deluded by ignorance. Anekachita vibhranta Mohajala Samavritaha Prasakta Kama Bhogeshu Patanti Narakeshu Chao. Thus perplexed by various anxieties and bound by a network of illusions, they become too strongly attached to sense enjoyment and fall down into hell. A reading from Srila Prabhupada's purport. The demoniac man knows no limit to his desire to acquire money. That is unlimited. He thinks only of how much assessment he has just now and schemes to engage that stock of wealth further and further. For that reason, he does not hesitate to act in any sinful way and so deals in the black market for illegal gratification. He is enamored by the possessions he has already, such as land, family, house, and bank balance, and he is always planning to improve them. He believes in his own strengths, and he does not know that whatever he is gaining is due to his past good deeds. He is given an opportunity to accumulate such things, but he has no conception of past causes. He simply thinks that all his mass of wealth is due to his own endeavor. According to the law of karma, a man takes his birth in a high family or becomes rich or very well educated or very beautiful because of good work in the past. The demoniac think that all these things are accidental and due to the strength of one's personal ability. They do not sense any arrangement behind all the varieties of people, beauty, and education. Anyone who comes into competition with such a demoniac man is his enemy. There are many demoniac people, and each is enemy to the others. This enmity becomes more and more deep between persons, then between families, then between societies, and at last between nations. Therefore, there is constant strife, war, and enmity all over the world. So just see the difference of the demoniac people, how they think of wealth, and it makes so much problems for themselves and others, and Krishna always thinking of his wealth. And just by thinking of Krishna, just by thinking of Krishna's thinking of his wealth, we become purified and free from the desire to acquire supposedly acquire wealth of this world, which is all just some phantasmagoria. I am wealthy. From Gita, a little more. Atma sambhavitas. Atma sambhavita stabdha dhanamana madanvitaha. Self-complacent and always impudent, deluded by wealth and false prestige. So let Krishna be rich, and let's not try and imitate him or claim that which is his to be ours. And if we give up such desires for trying to lord it over the material world, then Krishna, who's always thinking of everyone, it's his very nature to know everything, will be especially pleased to think of us, because he is Vasumana, one who likes to think of his treasure. And the treasure, that which he treasures in his heart, is the devotees who have no possession, akinchandhana. He is the wealth of those who have nothing. They don't want anything except him. Parashara Bhatta, particularly explaining this series of names in terms of Krishna, avatar, not exclusively, but particularly so, says, following on from the previous name, Vasu, which he described as meaning he who resides in the milk ocean, waiting to take various avatars for the benefit of the world, and including Krishna avatar. So he says that Vasumana means he's residing in the milk ocean, but he's thinking of Vasudeva. Vasumanaha, one whose mind is thinking of Vasudeva. So he may say that, well, Vasu, does that really mean Vasudeva? And Parashara Bhatta gives the example that just like if we say, Data, when we refer, then that's understood to refer to Devadatta. If we say Bhama, that's understood to refer to Satyabhama. And although he doesn't give this example, I can give another. If we say Gita, we refer to Bhagavad Gita. So in the same way, if we say Vasu without qualifying it further, then we can generally understand that meaning to mean Vasudev, who Krishna was lying in the milk ocean, served by Lakshmi Devi on the bed of Ananta, was praised by all great personalities, but he was thinking of Vasudev, and he descended to this earth to take birth as the son of Vasudev within a prison, because he loves Vasudev so much. Previously, when this name occurred, Shankaracharya gave us the interpretation that he is called Vasumala because his mind is Vasu, Vasu meaning pure, excellent, superior. His mind is not deluded by lust, greed, anger, or any such mundane contaminations. Obviously, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by meditating upon whom one's mind is purified, his own mind is pure. Obvious, but we can state it nevertheless, because that's the whole point of Vishnu Sahasranam. We know Vishnu is supreme, but how is he supreme? The Vishnu Sahasranam is a encyclopedic dissertation on how God is great. Not enough, Srila Prabhupada used to say, that God is great. We should know how God is great. And Vishnu Sahasranam gives some insights into this. Now, at this occurrence of the name, Sri Shankaracharya gives the meaning that his mind is pure and excellent in the sense that he, Vishnu, resides in everyone's mind without discrimination, without distinction. He resides in the heart of the rich man, he resides in the heart of the poor man, he resides in the heart of the devotee, he resides in the heart of the non-devotee. So in one sense, he's equal to all. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshu stina priyaha. He's not biased for or against anyone, but naturally he likes his devotees. He treats everyone equally. So in that way, he's very pure. It's not like someone, well, I'm from England, so I don't like people from France, something like that. It does. Or I'm from this area, I don't like people from another area. He's not contaminated by such low thoughts. His mind resides in every. Here we have Vasu, in the sense of residing. So he resides everywhere. His mind resides everywhere. He resides everywhere. That means his mind. He's conscious of everything, everywhere, and of everyone. He remains and lives in everyone. He's conscious of everyone, what they're doing, what they're thinking, what they deserve. Kshetragya chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that apart from the living being who is the kshetragya, the knower of the field of his own particular body, Krishna himself is the knower of the field, but of every field. So I am aware of my body and its needs and its pains and its pleasures. But Krishna, so in that way I may be called Kshetragya, the knower of my own particular field. But Krishna, he is the knower of every body, and he knows everybody better than they know themselves, because we only know our own immediate situation. We don't know exactly why we ended up in this situation, what good or bad, specific good or bad deeds we did to wind up in this situation. Krishna knows exactly what to give us so that we can play out the drama of our pretending to be an enjoyer of this world in whatever particular situation we are in. So in this way, his mind is so capable that it moves and lives in every mind simultaneously. It's inconceivable to us. We don't even know ourselves. And just like I say, we know our own body. Well, to some extent. We eat our food, we don't know how it's digested, exactly how it goes on. But he does. He's there. Aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam dehamashrita pranapana samayukta pachamyanam chaturvidham. As the fire of digestion, he resides in the stomach and digests the food. He knows exactly every little thing that's going on down to the atomic level. He's with us. So he has not only an overview of the universe, maya dhakshena prakriti. He's not only overseeing the material energy, but he's also underseeing it from the inside. Inconceivable to us. So that means he's attentive to everything. His mind doesn't wander. He doesn't lose his attention. Well, you could say his mind does wander because he's always thinking of Radha, his great treasury. But it doesn't mean that when his mind is absorbed in his devotees, therefore he's inattentive to the needs of being God and of overseeing everything in the universe. That goes on also. Inconceivable to us, the mind of God. This Stephen Hawking, the last words of one of his books, the most famous of his books, The Brief History of Time, he finished off with the words, the mind of God. How we can know the mind of God. But we cannot know. He knows our mind. We don't know his mind. To a little extent we can know, to this extent that we are discussing, how with his mind he is attentive to and concerned with every living being in the universe, and not only living beings, every object, the interaction of the earth, water, fire, air and ether, everything animate and inanimate. He's omniscient, omnipresent. Vasudeva is, that's the very meaning of the word Vasudeva. So he's omniscient also, because therefore Vasupada. He dwells everywhere and he knows everything. So he knows everything. He knows exactly how much heat and light we require to maintain this body, what kind of bodies to place in certain conditions. We learn from Srila Prabhupada, and I don't think anyone in the Western world, certainly no one would have ever given such an idea that living beings can reside in the sun. The Prabhupada said, yes, living beings reside in the sun, otherwise how could Krishna speak? Imam vivasvate yogam proktavana aham avyayam. I spoke this imperishable knowledge of yoga to the sun god. Sun god means he's living in the sun. So we learn from Srila Prabhupada how, from Shastra that Prabhupada gave to us, that the sun god lives in the sun. He can live in the sun. We can't in these bodies live in the sun. In these bodies we can't live in the water unless there's some special arrangement for doing so. Just like in a what's it called, bathyscope submarine, something like that. But that's an unnatural situation for us. The fish can live very happily in the water. So Krishna makes the arrangements and the requirements for all living beings. He knows the needs, the constitution, everything for all the creatures, because he's attentive. His mind, dwelling everywhere, is with every living being. Another meaning of the word Vasu, Vatsalyam. His mind is always absorbed in love for his, caring for his devotees. And also another meaning, to take away his mind. By his mind, he's always thinking how to take away the sufferings of all living beings, and particularly of his devotees. Vasu referring to Bhishma, and this is how our own Baladeva Vidyabhushan takes this, gives the interpretation as he was thinking of Bhishma. The fighting, even after Bhishma fell, the fighting went on, but Krishna was thinking of Bhishma, who's there at the edge of the battlefield on his Sharatalpa, the bed of arrows. Sharatalpa gato Bhishma shamyan nibahutasanaha mam dhyayati purusha vyagra tato me tadgatang mana. Greatly afflicted, lying on his bed of arrows, Bhishma Dev remembered me in the last stage of life, and because he was always thinking of me, O best of men, I also always remember him. So particularly he was thinking of Bhishma. What a great personality this Bhishma is, even from the worldly sense, but from the spiritual sense, even more so, because he was always thinking of Krishna, even though he's such a mighty person, physically, mighty in terms of his ancestry, from a son of a great king, the son of the goddess Ganga, having profound knowledge of all the different scriptures, but in his heart, he was not proud of all of this, he simply thought of Krishna. And Krishna naturally always thought of him. So in this way, he's also Vasumana. The last name in this verse, name 703, is Havi, the sacrificial offering. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir. We find the word in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir, Brahmagno Brahmana Hutam Brahmaivatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma, Brahma Karma Samadhina. The name is given, he is satisfied, he's always satisfied, he's pleased, he's Atmarama, he's satisfied in himself. Yet he becomes even more satisfied if his devotees offer him some patram pushpam, leaf, flower, fruit or water. Very satisfied, very inclined to be satisfied by his devotees' offerings unto him. The word Havi occurred just little bit before this, just named 683 as Mahahavihi, the great offering, the great sacrifice. So I won't get into it in so much detail here, but it means something which is offered in a sacrifice, or something which has been given away. So in the same way, Krishna is given away, Parashara Bhatta, he gives the understanding that Vasudev gave Krishna away to Nanda and Yashoda. And Krishna allowed that, even though Krishna was always thinking of Vasudev, for Vasudev's sake he came to this world, but he allowed himself to be given away to Nanda and Yashoda. Of course, there may be many reasons for that. One reason was to allay the fear that Vasudeva and Devaki had, because Vasudeva was very afraid that Kamsa would kill Krishna. So he allowed himself to be given away. Similarly, Sri Rama was given away by Dasharath, not very willingly. Rama and Lakshman were given to Vishwamitra when Vishwamitra came to Ayodhya and asked, you give me Rama, he has to kill some Rakshasas on my behalf. So Dasharath gave Rama to Vishwamitra so that Vishwamitra could continue making Havi, an offering to Agnideva. So that the offering in any sacrifice, that is, as Krishna says, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi. It's all spiritual. If one sees this offering as all spiritual, then that's also non-different from Krishna. A different understanding is given both by one of the commentators, Krishna Datta Bharadvaj and Baladev Vidyabhushan, that he is pleased or satisfied, that which gives pleasure or satisfaction. We offer something in the sacrifice for the pleasure of Narayana. Idam Narayana Namama. It's offered as pleasure, for his pleasure. So, Havi means he was, another meaning, a similar meaning, he was pleased or satisfied. So, following on his explanation as Vasumana, in terms of Bhishma, Baladev Vidyabhushan saying that he who was always thinking of Bhishma. So in the same way, Havi means that he was so very satisfied with Bhishma that he gave to Bhishma the gift of the highest gift of liberation and pure devotional service. He gave himself. When Bhishma was lying on his bed of arrows, Krishna came, and Bhishma was so happy, he wanted that. That when I my only desire now, having lived such a long life, such a exalted life, now my only wish is that the moment of death, I will see the beautiful face of Krishna as I pass away from this world. And Krishna was very happy to give himself to Bhishma Dev, being so satisfied with Bhishma Dev. Hare Krishna. Mancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Sri Vishnu Sahasranama ki jai.